On everything, I gave everything and got nothing back. Ain't looking for no pedal backs. That ain't how we got. Where the fuck we at? Mama called, where the fuck you at? On the road and I ain't coming back. Into my 100 stacks, make 100 racks. And that 100 racks bring a bundle back. I was blowing gas like the honey badger. J.I.D. bitch, the money snatcher. Say I be shit, I'm coming after everybody. Don't get the bloody splatter. I'm flying, I got my niggas fly too. Shit is like buddy passes. I wanna cry cause I'm numb inside. You wonder why, ask what's the matter. Cause I've been working hella hard. Shit ain't really working out. I've been praying to the Lord. Shit ain't really working out. I've been looking to the stars. Keep my head up in the clouds. Shit ain't really working out. Shit ain't really working out. Shit ain't really working out.
God damn, that's hard. Yes. Yo. All right, well, thank you.
Money
guys.
Snatcher.
Shit. So welcome back. 2 week of hiatus. A little break. Took a little break to promote. Take a little time off, you know, get some shit together. But welcome back to the GVGB podcast. It's that boy Mark once again holding it down. Shout out to Aries. He's going to be back in a couple weeks. We're going to do some Christmas shit. We're going to do some real hip-hop shit, just so y'all know. So y'all wait for that. Just make sure y'all listening in for him. Tonight, though, we got a couple return guests. This is the second time on here. We got our boy, J Will.
Let's do it. Anthony X, I'm back in here. Dude, shout out to Aries, man. Like, I didn't say that last time, but dude, shout out to Aries, bro. Like, man, you got to give a shout out, bro. He wanted the founders, man, so you got to shout him out. Yep. Hey, Mark, I'm happy to be here again, man.
Let's do it. And of course, we got Jay Kelly right next to him.
Hey, what's up? Relevant Kelly, here again.
Yeah.
Happy to be back.
Let's get it.
Let's see.
Fuck. So we're going to start off with, I'm just going to tell like a little recap story. So this past weekend, my roommate Jamari, Jesse, wherever you are, shout out to Jess. We all went out to LA. We went to Camp Flog. If you don't know what Camp Flog Now is, that is I think it's a carnival / concert / festival type deal.
Huge music festival. Yeah.
Started by Tyler, the Creator. Mm-hmm. It's his shit. He handpicks the artist, if I'm not mistaken, and he gets the niggas to go out there and stuff like that. He does it at Dodger Stadium. It was so fucking dope. First night we saw, we got there a little bit later because we didn't know, some of the artists we didn't know during the daytime.
Okay.
And then we wanted to rest because we had to drive. So we waited till like about 5 or 6. First artist we saw, Playboi Carti.
Hey.
This nigga, oh my goodness.
Cardi.
I hadn't been that tired in such a long time. Like, me and Jamar were both looking at each other like, nigga. Like, yo, we are not 20 no more. Like, we are not.
Oh, don't say that.
It was crazy. No. Like, this nigga had a mosh pit for every single song. And I'm not even joking. It was crazy.
Oh my gosh.
If y'all know about... If y'all know about, not most rap concerts, but most of these new nigga rap concerts, they portray themselves as rock stars. They live that rock star life. They want niggas to act like, you know, they're at a rock concert when you're listening to them. So Playboi Carti was every song before he started anything. He was like, "Y'all niggas better get this fucking circle going now.
Get that circle going now."
So everybody's like, "Oh fuck!" Girls were like, everyone's like, "Yo, girls, we need you to like chill. All right, we need you to get out of the way because people are gonna get hurt."
Dude.
And people did. Like, people were getting carted off, nose was broken, all kinds of stuff, glasses being tossed in the air. Like, it was crazy.
It was chaos.
It was literally chaos. And then every single song. And he did like 20 songs.
Oh,
it was crazy.
God.
It was like an hour set. And like most of his songs are short anyway. So like he did almost all, like everything
his
tight.
Whole album.
And you know
his
what I mean? Like catalog. It was crazy.
Dude.
But it was so much fun. It was dope. And right after that, I don't even remember who else we saw that night actually. I know that we saw. Oh! We saw Tyler. We actually got to see Tyler.
How is he live?
So Tyler, Tyler's really dope.
Okay, okay.
Like, he puts on a very respectable, like, type performance.
Okay.
Like, lyrically, he can perform, like, everything flawlessly. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't lip syncing or nothing like that. And, like, you know, like, he actually can spit.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
Like, he's one of the dudes that can actually spit, like, all of his verse, all of his three verses or whatever, and have the stamina to keep going, dance, dang, and do, you know what I mean? Man, like, you know, some people got to kind of, like, take a break a little bit.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, like, do some slow songs in between or whatever. This dude's energy is, like, crazy. Like, he's out there. He's 100 right out the gate.
Man, I saw your IG stories, bro. Like, it
was looked, crazy.
It looked bizarre. Like, yeah. I won't. You made me a little jealous. I didn't even know about it. I didn't even really know about it. Yeah, I did, man. We're both in LA. And I was just really looking at your IG stories, and I was jealous, man. Like, yeah. It looked like it was a good time. So.
It was. It was crazy because, like, you know, obviously with him having and hosting that festival, with when he performed, it was like everyone was like there. So it was just so much attention to it and so much like energy. The vibes were great.
He was in a crowd with you guys too. I saw that.
So this is what happened. So like we left Tyler's set early so that we can go get it. We can get in the front for Pusha T.
Oh yeah,
because like we big Pusha fans. Oh, you know what I mean? So we left a little early so we can go get in line for Pusha. When Pusha comes on, it's still like towards the end of Tyler's set. So we, you know, we're fully engulfed in Pusha, who me and Jamari both decided that he had the best performance out of everyone.
I bet.
Yeah, like everyone. Like,
what song did he open with?
He started off with
If You Know. Oh,
he started off, and it was crazy too. So
sick,
most of the artists actually didn't have DJs before their set. So it was complete silence. So it kind of sucked. So like you would be waiting just silently, and then the music would start and be like, oh, okay, now it's starting. But Pusha shit, he had a DJ. So, like, the vibes were there, you know? And he was the only nigga that had a DJ before their set. So, he was playing Kendrick. He's playing good music. He's playing all types of shit. Like, he's playing Kanye shit.
He's keeping them good.
You know what I mean? He's playing clip shit. He's playing all types of... And it's like, yo, like, the vibes were there. You know what I mean? Like, his DJ was tight. And then, all of a sudden, like, it gets quiet. And he goes out there on stage, and he's just got the mic, and he's just staring at all of us. And then he puts his head down, and he's just pulling up in that new toy. And then just, I'm like, oh, shit! He does the whole first verse, acapella, and then, of course, like, if you know, you know. And like, oh, my God. Like, it went crazy. And, like, the visuals was wild. The lights, the whole shit was a production. It was so dope. Like, for real, he had the best one. And then he just came hit after hit after hit. He did all of Daytona.
Daytona is a sick album, by the way.
Best album of the year.
Cold,
and he kept saying that, too. I loved it. He was like, rap album of the year, Daytona.
Yeah.
And we were like, yes. Yes.
You might be right about that.
It was tight. He did hit after hit. He did all the Daytona shit. He did some songs from King Push, though.
Okay.
He did Nostalgia.
Okay. Oh,
he
my
did
God.
Numbers on the Boards. That one was crazy too. He did FIFA from Darkness
Sick.
Before the Madness.
Yeah, man.
He did
yeah.
FIFA. He did his verse on Mercy. He did his verse on New God Flow. That one was wild.
My gosh, man.
He did Grinding, of course.
Oh, yeah.
He always takes it back.
Kid did that beat on the table, man. Every kid.
That's a classic classroom beat. That one was tight, and he did some other songs that I'm I can't think of right now, but it was crazy tight though. The next night we got there early. We saw Lauryn Hill.
She actually showed up.
Lauryn Hill showed up, and everyone was we were 10 minutes late, right?
Okay. Right.
We pulled up and we're talking about it because Jesse really wanted to see her. So we're talking about it, and then like someone overhears us and they're like, oh, you know, she didn't show up. And we're like, fuck, like,
this
man,
is
like, damn, like, we were like, you know,
it's Lauryn Hill.
Yeah. I'm thinking like, yeah, well, this is what she does. She's done this for 20 years now.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So like, it is what it is. And then as we're walking, all of a sudden we start hearing this, the music, and we're like, is that Lauryn Hill? And then we get up there, and it's like her, and she's in the middle of Everything is Everything. I don't know if you remember that song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And she's in the middle of it, and we're like, hey, we made that shit. Like, hey, all right, let's get it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then we got to watch her, and she was dope too, man.
That has to be legendary, she
was,
man.
No, like, it was really, really cool. Her backup singers, they were dope. They had some sauce. They were adding extra sauce to the songs, like to the ad-libs and shit. Like, she had a hype, man, that was dope. Her band sounded amazing.
Dude.
She put a little, I liked it, but she put a little extra flavor on X Factor, mm-hmm. like towards the end, you know what I mean? Like,
cry for me.
Yeah. Like she put a little flavor onto it and it was dope. Like it was really, I'm really sad. Nice. And her voice is still top notch.
Yeah.
Yeah. No cracks, no nothing. Like no trembles, no nothing. Like Lauryn Hill still got pipes for sure. And she still spits that shit like it was like back in like the 90s and shit like that.
She
like
might she was be going one at, of the best female rappers. Like,
she's top five for me, like, yeah, for man. Sure. She still performs at a high level.
That's you know what I mean?
Like,
it.
And you could tell she was happy to be out there. She was happy to be doing that. She was going through the songs. It was just dope. Energy was great. Like, everyone was fucking with it.
She's a legend. You know what I mean? Legend. Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing. Like, that's like legend status. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we got to see a legend, like, still in his prime. Cause, like, you know, when we are little, they're at an all time high.
Yeah.
But then, like, now we have money and we could go to concerts and, like, to be able to see that before, like, she retires or, she passes away. That's dope. You know?
Oh, yeah, man.
So it was cool to, when you think about it, like, we got to see a legend before her time is done. You know what I mean?
And she did X Factor.
She did X Factor right next to Doo-Wop. That thing, that shit shut it down. Like, you obviously, everyone was waiting for it.
Yeah,
so,
man.
It was dope, and like it was real dope. Everyone was fucking with it. The energy was great. Then we saw Post Malone.
Okay.
Post Malone, good. I'm not like a huge fan. Like, I know a couple songs. Like, he's cool. Like, he's talented, but I didn't actually realize how talented he was. Like. Dude actually can, he can actually hold a tune. Like, really? He could actually kind of sing. And then he was, like, playing guitar and, like, he's doing, like, acoustic songs. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, he's not just this random dude just, like, spinning some shit.
His rock stuff is good.
I was surprised. Like, I was surprised. It was actually kind of tight. There were some songs that I never heard before that I was like, this is actually worth listening to. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But he put on a good performance, though. Like, it was dope. Like, it was a solid performance. Like, give it, like, a B+, you know what I mean?
Not bad.
And then after that, we waited for Kissy Ghost. We had to see Kanye and Cudi.
So, I'm not sure. Did they already announce that they were going to perform, or was it, like, a surprise performance?
No. That was from day one. When they put when they put out the lineup for Can't Flog, it was, like, Kissy Ghost was, like, right there in big letters. Dang. So, it was, like, no, that's... That's what a lot of us are coming for. Like, that was just the shits. So, that was wild. Like, when those motherfuckers came out and they were in this floating cage type stage shit. I was like, yo, these niggas is on another level right now. Like, man, I've never seen, like, Kid Cudi so happy. Like, Cudi was so... He couldn't stop smiling. He was cheesing and shit like that. He was so happy to be there. Kanye was going in. Like, this dude would not... I'm not even joking. Like, to the slow song, it doesn't matter what they were doing. He would not stop dancing. He was so happy. Like, he was so... It was like he was motherfucking, like, a new man. Like, this motherfucker, he's waving his hands all together. He's like, he's got, like, demons inside of him. He's trying to shake him out. He's shaking him out and shit like that. He wouldn't stop praying. Like, he was on his knees a lot of the time. Like, he's just praying to God and all kinds of shit. Like, this dude was just, like, outside of himself. And it was dope, though. Like... You could see, like, I don't know, like, you could see, like, when artists want to be there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, like, you can definitely tell.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
I've been to enough festivals to know that.
Exactly. Like, some of them, they do their thing, and then they're like, okay, well, this is it.
Give me my money back.
Right. But, like, no, he was, like, yo, these fools were, like, they were eating all that shit up. Dude, like, the crowd was crazy.
I want to see Kid Cudi live so bad.
No, it was crazy. Like, they did all of Kissy Ghosts 1-7.
Okay. What's your favorite song from that? I'm sorry.
Mine's Cudi Montage.
What's yours?
Cudi Montage.
Cudi Montage, though.
All
right, mine's is a favorite, and then the second favorite is Ghost Town 2.
My favorite on Kissy Ghost is Fourth Dimension.
Okay, that fourth dimension is hard,
so
dude.
So cold, like the way it changes.
Yeah.
You just think you're hearing her, and then it just boom, boom, boom. Yeah, dude.
And it was tight too, because like crazy. Everyone know the words.
Yeah.
So we were all singing that part,
what
and
is
like.
Santa
yeah. We were. It was tight. But he did All Kids See Ghosts, and then right after that, they did. I'm tripping. They started off the best way. They start off with Father Stretch My Hands.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just like the concert all over again. Everyone went fucking
we went nuts.
Like we were just going crazy. The pit started up. Everyone's shaking and shit, jumping up and down. Yo,
it was wild.
That part one came on, man. And it was crazy. That's honestly the greatest start to a concert ever. Like,
yeah.
Part one is just, you can't really fuck with it. But, Pusha did his verse on Field of Love.
He came out on Kids See Ghosts?
He didn't come out on Kids See Ghosts, but
on his set.
But then the night before, he did his verse
his
on Field of Love, and it was crazy.
Dope.
And then when they did it again, they did it for Kids See Ghosts, and then they just let it ride, and it was crazy. Like, everyone was going crazy.
Gosh.
Word for word and shit like that. It was dope. And then, like, when he was like, everyone was like, everyone was going crazy.
Why is that so hard, though?
It's tight. It's tight. Everyone was screaming and shit. Everyone's got air guns and all. Everyone's screaming. Everyone's acting a fool. Kanye's like, it was crazy. It was crazy. Right after that, he went into, and I forgot, because, like, everyone in the crowd are like, yo, what Kanye Cudi songs are they going to perform together?
Because
like they got a lot, and like they don't know how far back they're going to go.
Right.
So after he does All the Kids See Ghosts, he does Welcome to Heartbreak.
Oh man!
And I'm like, oh my god! Like I turn to Jamari, I'm like, yo, I forgot all about 808s. Like they have songs.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh shit! So they do all of Welcome to Heartbreak. It was fucking powerful. Everyone got quiet. Everyone's just watching and shit like that.
Gosh.
The lighters come out, phones come out. It was crazy. Welcome to Heartbreak was dope. And then right after that, they do Paranoid.
Oh, my
Paranoid,
God.
That was my shit. Paranoid went wild, man. Like, I was singing the whole song. Like, I didn't care. I was moving and shit like that. I didn't give a fuck. Paranoid was so dope. And then, like, Cudi, he, like, grabs the mic, and he's just like, yo, like, you know, it's my first time here, blah, blah, blah. Like, I want to do one of my favorite songs. Like, you know I got to do this. Like, everyone was like,
I got to do this. No.
So he does Pursuit of Happiness.
Pursuit of Happiness.
Everybody's, like, that was the shits. Like, that was just the shits. Like, everyone, like, that's purple, like, festival music. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it's like, it's our time. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Cudi's senior year.
Literally.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's singing it too. Like, that was just like, yeah, it was perfect.
Because I'm still on a Pursuit of Happiness, man.
You feel me?
Like,
you feel me? You
oh,
know
my
what
God.
Mean?
I feel that song on a whole different level.
On a whole
level,
nother
man.
Level.
Oh, my God.
That's one of our shits. Like, that's like a song of our generation. You feel
me?
Like, that's like defining. You know what I mean?
Well, because, like, that's when, like, because, you know, I like Day and Night, obviously. Like,
that's
the first song I heard by Kid Cudi. But that song made me love Kid Cudi.
Yeah.
Because it's just like,
it's powerful.
We're all on that pursuit. Mm-hmm. And just everything he said was just perfect, man. I can't believe you got to see that.
It was
vulnerability.
It was.
Yeah,
it was dope to hear that, because that was not Jamari's, but that was my first time seeing Cudi live. So to hear him do, you know, a song like that, that was dope.
So
like
lucky.
That was so fucking dope.
That was that moment
so
for
lucky.
You
feel
like,
me?
You're
like,
oh.
Shit. And now so, same thing with 808. Like you know, that was when we were like
juniors.
Yeah. So there was I thought like there's no way that I'm gonna be able to hear those songs be performed. When they did them, I'm like, yo, shit, like that was 10 years ago. I never thought I would hear this be, you know what I mean? Like,
no
sung. Like, this is crazy. So it was dope.
Dang, it was
especially since
years.
That album, like, holds, dang, it was 10 years ago. Come on, guys. Like, don't,
crazy,
let's not date us right
dude,
now.
Dude, man. 10 years ago, man.
Okay, it was a while back, but it holds.
It don't matter when it was.
It don't matter.
It was
a while. But it holds, like, such a special place because, I don't know, maybe all of us might have been, like, but. Like, it was just, like, you're going through something at that time, maybe with a girl.
Yep.
And I listened to that whole album. I remember when that album came out, I listened to that whole album. So just to hear that, you got to hear that live, I'm jealous, man.
Crazy,
bro. I am jealous.
Honestly, like, it really felt kind of, like, out of body. Like, it's one of those things where, like, just how you were saying, like, about, like, Lauryn Hill and being able to see that.
Yeah.
It's, like, some legend shit. You know what I mean? Is, like, man.
It really is.
Like, those two are, like, solidified in, like, music. And, like, they're done. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have to put out more music.
Never again.
So, to see that kind of shit, like, that's just, like, history to me.
And their
like,
impact is enough already.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's just set in stone for me. So, like, it's dope to be able to see that kind of shit performed. Yeah, and then, like, right after Pursuit of Happiness, Kanye was like, yo, I got to do my favorite song. And they did Ghost Town. Mm-hmm. And Ghost Town, for me, song of the year.
Man.
Like, that shit is just, that's 2018 wrapped up perfectly. That shit is so, that's next level for me.
It's just, like, how much you feel it. Like,
we're
still those kids we used to be. Like, I mean, just man, like see, that.
it's so funny, man, because, like, you know, like, our graduating class, I'll just keep it with our graduating class in particular.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, this is like a turning point, like, year. You feel me?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, man.
Like, 25 was, like, big for us, but, like, I feel like just looking at all of us, like, 26 has been, like, next level.
Yeah,
like,
man,
you know what I mean? Like,
I
make or
lie.
Break for us. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. like, with that song and just, like, how you're saying, like, we're still the kids we used to be and type of shit. Like, it's on some other kind of wavelength that we're on, and it was just perfect that song came out. It touches us.
Yeah.
And I got to see that perform, and it just blows my mind. It blows my mind. It's powerful. It's real, some real powerful shit.
Yeah,
I love it, man. I loved every minute of it. It was a good solid concert. I look forward to, you know, like, maybe going and doing that again. Like, I would love to see a full Tyler set again. I'm a fan of him now, like I wasn't before, but, like, now I am. And he likes the artists that
don't
I like,
on,
so, you know, might as well.
Don't sleep
yeah.
on Tyler.
Yeah, no,
Tyler's
for real, man.
Respected,
especially that last album. Oh,
that was my shit. That was the thing that, like, turned me. Because, like, for me, I didn't like how he came out. I didn't like Our Future because, like, I thought those niggas was weird. And then, like, I was oh, the music's tight, though. Like,
man.
Like, they can spit, and, like, they're actually making tight shit.
Well, Frank Ocean came out of Odd Future.
Exactly. Yeah. And Frank Ocean, you know what I mean?
He's a legend. He's a amazing.
But then, for me, like, what he became was more of just, like, oh, like, I respect him. Like, I know that he can make, like, some good shit. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
So I was just like, okay, cool. And, like, I don't know what it was, but Flower Boy came out last year, and it was complete just, like, off a chance.
It just went.
Like, I was just like, fuck around. I'm going to listen to it. With no one telling me about it, no one, like, I felt like it was kind of slept on, too. Like, Tyler shit just came out. It was just kind of there, and I was like, you know what?
That was a word-of-mouth album.
Exactly.
If no one else was talking to you about it,
you didn't think
about it.
And now it's picked up steam, and, like, now it's a little bit different because it was that good, and it got nominated for a Grammy and all type shit. But, like, I literally went... bro, it's honestly, it was like top, for me, it was like top five albums last year.
Wow. Okay, I'm gonna listen. I'm gonna listen tomorrow. Yeah. I'll report back to you guys.
Because it's dope. Three. And it's a vibe though, dude. Like, it's a good concept album. It's a different type of vibe. Tyler really, like, spit some real shit on there. The songs are dope. The energy's all on it is just crazy.
Our professor. I
Elvis.
Him.
Yeah, Elvis. Elvis, yeah, Professor Elvis Mitchell.
Yep.
He's one of the consulting directors on Black Lightning. Yeah, man. He's I don't know how we got this professor. He's like a famous, he used to be head critic of the New York Times. Like, I don't know why he can't.
His best friends with Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, that's his best friend.
He just
interviews Leonardo DiCaprio.
He interviewed Tyler, the Creator.
Oh.
And, like, listening to Tyler, like, talk about his brand.
Yeah.
That's what really made me switch before Flower Boy came out.
Because
he was talking about that, and then he was talking about himself and his life, and, you know, these are 30-minute interviews, so they're just real quick.
Exactly.
But in that 30 minutes, I felt like, okay, Tyler's somebody that I'm gonna fuck with probably the rest of my life.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like,
this album, I'm, like, 100% all in on it.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's gonna be great.
Yeah.
And as soon as I hit play, I was like,
yep.
I didn't miss a beat.
I'm gonna give it a chance. I'll give it a chance.
For real, like, I fuck with it start to finish. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna check it out.
That's one of those ones you just play and just.
And it's dope. It's hot.
I've been heavy on Frank Ocean right now, but I'll give this.
Frank Ocean got a feature on there.
Really? Okay. Now I gotta listen to it. My boy Frank Ocean's on it.
Yeah. It's tight. But yeah. Overall though, good concert. It was good to see. Well, of course, my favorite artist, but it was good to see Push. It was good to see Cuddy. That was my first time seeing him. It was dope.
And I'll be with you next year, man.
Next year we'll be with you. Next year we're going to have to do it, man.
Let's do it.
Yeah, for sure.
The balance. You lose your grip, you can slip into an abyss. No doubt, you see these niggas tripping. Ego in charge of every move, he's a star. And we can't look away due to the days that he caught our hearts. He's falling apart, but we deny it. Justifying a half-ass shit he dropped, we always buy it. When he tell us he a genius, but it's clearer lately. It's been hard for him to look into the mirror lately. There was a time when this nigga was my hero, maybe. That's the reason why his fall from grace is hard to take. Cause I believed him when he said his shit was pure, ain't he? The type of niggas swear he real, but all around us fake. The women, the dick riders, you know the yes men. Nobody with the balls to say something to contest them. So he grows out of control until the person that he truly was all along is starting to show. Damn, wonder what happened. Maybe it's my fault for idolizing niggas based off the words they be rapping. But come to find out, these niggas don't even write they shit. Here's some new style bubbling up, then they bite this shit. Damn, that's what I get for lying to myself. But fuck it, what's more important is he's crying out for help. While the world's egging him on, I'm begging him to stop it. Playing his old shit, knowing he won't top it. False prophets.
Oops.
So.
So.
That's. That's my heart right there.
So what are we talking about next? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the other Jermaine.
That's
big
Cole.
That's big bro right there.
Yeah. So obviously a big topic in it's kind of like crossed over from just pop culture, but just into a lot of people's just household and shit like that. It's just been this 2018 Kanye has been something else.
It's been a roller coaster.
It's been a roller coaster for sure. He started off with the visit to Trump Tower in New York, mm-hmm. when he first got elected.
Yep.
Then he came out at one of the Pablo concerts, said that he would have voted for him. Mm-hmm. I think was it
the TMZ statement?
I feel like there was something before then.
That was after the.
There was something before then because then he did the Charlamagne interview.
Yeah.
Then after that was the TMZ interview.
Yeah.
And then it just went really. It just
then like, we got the albums.
Like, and then the albums, and then the Drake shit. Then the Drake pushes shit.
Then he's in the White House.
Then he was in the White House.
On his
knees. Just acting wild. And then.
He was on SNL.
Oh, yeah. I forgot the SNL.
True.
You know.
And then he was like, fuck this. I'm being used.
Yes.
And then I'm done. And
you know what
and
came
I
before
that,
the Charlamagne interview? It was the Twitter rants, and then he
it was a Twitter and the pics with the MAGA hat.
That's what it was. Him saying he would support
it. Because I was trying to think, there was something that they were talking about, like,
and that's when he took his break from Twitter after that.
Exactly, because then in between that around that time and that Charlamagne shit was the T.I. song.
Yeah,
Ye versus the People too.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the Scoopity Whoop.
Oh my god!
The lift yourself. I forgot
that
about that.
That beat is so freaking cold. It was crazy. And he just ruined it. Okay, yeah, it's fine.
Lyrically, that was probably the best song of 2018.
Yeah, but, Drake feels that too.
Oh my goodness! But so basically, it's been hard for a lot of people to stay Kanye fans. I'll start off by saying that there's no way that I don't understand that. Like, there's obviously he's losing his fucking shit. Well, I shouldn't say that. He's lost his fucking shit.
Yeah.
This is one of the many times that he's lost his shit. It just seems a little bit deeper this time because of who he's associated himself with. And I think that right now, I feel like consciousness and fake consciousness have been at a heightened level right now.
Oh yeah.
So like, because of just the way that politics have played a part in the country in the last couple years, mm-hmm. and it's so divisive. As soon as you say one word or misstep or step out of one way or whatever, like lines are drawn.
Yeah.
So you gotta pick your side. How it is now.
Right away. Yeah.
You know
right
what I mean? Away. And because of Kanye being Kanye, he's not one to just be told to do something and then like just, oh yeah, you're supposed to just do this just cause.
Yeah.
So he chose his side. Well, kind of chose his side and backlash right off the rip. Like, no. No, nigga.
Wrong side.
You are not going to... That's not the one you're supposed to go with. You feel me? Like, so it made a lot of people, you know, kind of like question, like, do we even want to rock with this dude anymore? Like, is he canceled, if you will? I'm not a fan of that term. I don't really like that shit, but... That's just what they say. So, my opinion, definitely understandable. It is what it is. I've never been a person to tell people who they need to support or to listen to. But I give a very, very specific type of support.
Okay.
So, I'm based off of product. Like, I've always been like that. And, like, because... I learned really young because I've been disappointed by specifically like the people that I watch like on my teams and stuff like that. Like, you know, like there's been like, I think that a big one for us was, you know, like Mike Vick.
Yeah.
So Michael Vick, didn't even matter if you were an Atlanta fan or not.
I love Michael Vick.
Yo, Michael Vick was like the fucking truth.
He's the man.
Like, yo,
the
like
man.
This nigga. Oh,
that
and
was
then,
R. Warren.
You see what I'm saying? Like, this dude was like, this dude was on another level. Like,
yes.
And being a Philly fan my whole life, like, McNabb was my guy, right?
Yeah.
Yo, Mike Vick was, like, McNabb, like, 2.0, like, on another level on, like, yo, yep. Crazy. Like, this dude was faster, had a bigger arm. This dude is juking niggas, like,
especially
midfield.
Especially on Madden, man.
You know what I mean?
With him on Madden, it's
unstoppable.
It's
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yo, of course, you remember his story when he gets locked up for the Pitbull ring.
Yep.
And all this kind of stuff. And it was just like, as a kid, I was just like, yo, what the fuck? And I remember having to go through the process of, okay, those highlights and like everything that he was doing is so cool. Mm-hmm. It was so tight. Like this nigga was untouchable. But he did wrong. Like, how do I, like, does this mean that I stop liking what he did? Do I stop watching? Like, how does this work? Like, does he come back to the league and then, like, I'm a fan again? Like, how does this work? You know what I mean? Right. And I just remember thinking, like, with life going on, I remember thinking, like, I don't think that I have to draw that line. Like, I don't... Oh, well, no, the opposite. I think that I have to draw that line. A bigger life lesson is... The people closest to you are going to disappoint you at some point in time, mm-hmm. but that doesn't negate what you love prior. About them. So, I mean, us as Kanye fans, years prior, how many times had he had fucked up and done fucked up things to whoever or whatever, but we were just like, well, my beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is one of the greatest albums. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We're just like, well, Graduation is, you know what I mean? And then we're just like, damn, Yeezus is kind of hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we just go through it because we're just like clear separating. I think that now because there's a heightened sensitivity to things and stuff like that. And, you know, like a lot of lives are affected with this particular case that it made it a little bit more difficult. But for me, I still... kind of like am holding on to, well,
what he was.
I don't, well, it's simple, like, because, well, not even what he was, because, like, the product that he gave me this year, I was happy with it. Like, I was very happy with it. I liked all the songs. I loved the Scoopity Whoops.
That's from an artist standpoint.
No. Yeah. Meaning that.
Okay.
Well, because, like, for some people, they would say what he was as far as music standpoint,
oh,
like, he's
no,
fell
no,
off.
No, no,
you know
no.
what I mean?
Yeah,
for
I
me, the product that he gave me was exactly the product that I asked for, and I was happy with it. Everything else, that is a man that is so far in another world that I'm not even concerned with. Like, I'm truly not even concerned with it. And to kind of, like, speak to the people that were affected, I would really kind of, like, challenge them to remember, if it doesn't affect your view, then it really shouldn't matter. So I know that sometimes we like to have concern for people that they possibly could affect. Mm-hmm. But when you and I discussed it, we remember, I was like, when he came out and said, I'm a Trump supporter, were there a lot of minorities that flipped when he said that? Like, did he have a following that followed him with that? You know what I mean? Like, the people that I saw say, like, oh yeah, like, go Kanye, like, me too, none of them were minorities.
No.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? So, like, and that's where I get to, like, the challenge. I was like, guys, like, I think that the most important thing that you could do is that if it doesn't affect you, like, to your core, like, if what he's saying doesn't, like, make you think, and, like, then it shouldn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, as much as he's a hero to us and blah, 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 and as much as we listen to him and rock with him, if tomorrow he says, like, I'm only going to make country music, but we're not country music fans, then that's okay. Like, that doesn't affect me because that's not my genre. Obviously, that's a watered-down, simplistic, yeah, yeah. You know...
But I get what you're
You know, example, but... Mm-hmm. Like I said, it didn't affect anyone.
Yeah.
Like, as far as, like, flipping... You know what I mean? Like, we are still on...
It didn't change your life.
You see what I'm saying? Like, well, it didn't make me change my thoughts on Trump. Yeah, yeah. You see what I'm saying? Like, it didn't make me look at the policies and be like, hey, you know what? Maybe he's got a point. No. Like, what I'm saying? Like, no. Now all I know is that he likes him for whatever reason. And like, okay, well, I disagree with you. Like, I wish I could show you... And people have, but I wish I could show you why that's not the best route. Yeah, right. Maybe you need to look at some other things, but it's as simple as that. Like, I can't change that man. You know what I mean? Like, so we keep it moving. And then and just the last thing was just like, when people look at the artists and the people that are surrounding him, mm-hmm. the Pushes, the Shawns, the GLCs of the world, even J. Cole and him had some conversations and stuff like that. And the people that he had conversations with that are very vocal about disagreeing with him, they still treat him as his brother, yeah. as their brother, right?
Yeah.
He's still at 2 Chainz wedding. He's still, you know what I mean? Like, he's still, you know, he's still around.
He's still Kanye.
You gotta, I would just, part of the challenge is, again, like, you gotta think of that, like, if that was your family member, if, like, you were in your family member is outwardly supportive of whoever it may be, does that negate that family bond that you have with that person? Because for whatever reason, they took the left turn and their thoughts went one way, and now they, you know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. However way they got there, they got there. Does that take away from... the support that you guys had, the love that you guys had, the experiences that you guys had, the bond that you guys had, you got to really challenge yourself. You know what I mean? Because in reality, that's not how life is going to be. Yeah. There's going to be a day where your mom is just going to be, like, not on the same page with you at all.
But if I want to just, jump in.
Yeah, really fast. Go ahead. That was my last point.
No, I hear you, man. I hear you. And I hear what you're saying, man. And you have to remember the good and the bad. But this is what I'll say about Kanye. So Kanye has a huge platform.
Sure.
And a lot of people's listening to him. Like, if you look at his tweets, as soon as he tweets one thing, millions of people jump on that and hear what he's saying. And he has this platform to spread information or misinformation. Mm-hmm. And he's choosing to spread misinformation. And what I'll tell you about that is this. The first point I want to get onto about the mental illness.
Yeah.
So if Kanye really has bipolar disorder, or if he really has a mental illness, that's something to take serious. And by him spreading the message of, I feel better when I don't take my medication, or I take my medication when I feel like I need to take my medication, sure. or things like that, on a human level, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If you have that platform and you spread that message to these people that hear you, and they might be dealing with mental illness as well, and you sure. tell them that, you don't have to take your medication. I feel fine when I don't take my medication. I feel like a superhero. That right there is wrong. You're spreading misinformation. And to the point, if I even jump off the fact about his mental illness, mm-hmm. and if you know, and I want to say up front before I begin with my message about him talking about Trump, if he has a mental illness, he needs to get real help. He needs to really see a doctor. And if he is prescribed a prescription, he needs to take that. And he needs to take that regularly.
He has to take care of himself.
That's a mental disorder. And that's something that this country needs to do a better job of taking serious. Mm-hmm. And that we, as people, if we see people with mental illnesses, we need to help them. And we can't encourage their behavior when they say, you know, I feel better when I don't take my mental illness. I don't need my pills. No, you need your pills. Yeah. I have a friend whose mom has bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to disclose this person's name, but she has to make sure every night her mom takes her medication for her bipolar disorder, because her mom would just say, you know, I feel better, I'm fine, I don't need to take it. True. And then she'll have another episode.
Exactly.
You have to, if you have a mental illness, you can't spread the message that I feel better when I don't take it, especially if you have a huge platform. On that first level, I feel that's what makes me feel bad about this situation.
I
need to hold him accountable, because something that's happening with Kanye about these things that he's just saying, mm-hmm. is like people are babying him. Like, oh, well, you know, like, you know, he doesn't really understand what's going on. No, this is a grown man. He's 41 years old. He needs to be held accountable for the things he's saying, especially if he's spreading misinformation. Because on a personal level, I work in government. 2016 happened. The biggest problem that happened in 2016 was the spread of misinformation. Sure. The spread of misinformation on all these platforms, where people, they see something on Facebook and they just assume it's real. Yeah. They see something on Twitter, oh, it must be real. And that's what's happening with Kanye. When he goes on his Twitter rants,
he's a victim of that. Because he's 100% just off of whatever the fuck. Oh, someone's showing him something and he's just exactly. like going in on it. Exactly. He's like, oh yeah, this must be true.
Like, he's talking about theories that were already disproven. He's talking about, he's spreading this misinformation to millions of people who could be affected by this.
Sure.
And that's a problem that we're having with Kanye, is because, man, if you're going to say some points, and if you want to get some points across, mm-hmm. make sure you're right about it. Make sure if you want to quote some facts, make sure you know the facts. Yeah. Don't just say, oh, well, I go based on these things by, you know, just how I'm feeling. Yeah, I don't want to read anything. I just want to see how I feel. And then I'll say it, because you have a platform.
Sure.
And with that platform, whether you like it or not, becomes a power to influence these people who are following you.
Sure.
And you have to make sure, if you have a responsibility to say the correct thing. The slavery of was a choice thing. Like, you know, that offended me, but it's just the fact that it seems like he's a shell of who I thought he was. And that's why when J. Cole says, he's in the song's False Prophets that played before the segment, he was just talking about, like, you know, he thought this man was something else, and he found out maybe he wasn't even writing the things he's saying, because, like, man, we're all huge Kanye fans.
True.
But I felt Kanye on, like, a black level. Like, bro, I'm listening to crack music, and I'm like, how you stop the Black Panthers? Ronald Reagan cooked up the answer. Like, when you say stuff like that, mm-hmm. I'm like, bro, I'm with you on this, man.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
if you look at just like the Black Panthers, and you look at what happened with them when drugs infiltrated their party, like, you're like, man, what was going on there? Maybe Kanye West have a point about that. And then to see this complete 180 where he's promoting people like Candace Vaughn and giving her a bigger platform.
Candace Owens.
I shouldn't say that. Candace Owens.
That's very different.
Yeah, they're very different people.
Who I did a little bit of research into her, because, like, once that was happening, I was like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
She's actually an idiot.
She's flip-flops. She flip-flops. Yeah. Have you seen her position before she got into this whole white supremacist movement?
I really don't like her. I really dislike Candace Owens.
And you know her only because of Kanye West.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's promoting these people, these white supremacists. And Candace Owens is black. She's a white supremacist. Because what happens, what I see a lot is, like, white people, they already going to disagree with you regardless. Like, some white people, I'm not going to say all, but, like, the racist white people who just hate you on the just... I see you and you're black and I hate you on that level, they're looking for ways to disagree with you. So when they see people like Candace Owens and they see, you know, they see Kanye saying these things, they say, oh, well, this is why We're going to put these policies into place. Look, they said this is right, so it should be right with you too.
Sure.
We need to make sure we hold. If you want to be a black leader, and it seemed like Kanye West wants to take that leadership role, and if you want to take that leadership role, you have a huge responsibility to the black community, because a lot of times the black community is voiceless in when they go into a lot of rooms, and they don't have the huge platform that Kanye has. So since he has that platform, and if he wants to be a black leader, he owes the black community a responsibility to promote the correct message. Mm-hmm. And if you're saying all these just points that you saw on Facebook or something like that, then you're hurting the black community, because you're hurting like policies that can be put into place. Like, you have a platform to discuss policy. You're with the president, and instead of discussing real policy, like I watched that whole thing. He's talking about a hydroplane. He's telling Trump that he wants to play baseball with his son because he's giving him masculine energy. Like, dude, if you want to use this platform to talk to Trump because you don't hate him or anything, either bring people with you who actually know the issues, or you educate yourself on the issues, and that's going to require you to read. You educate yourself on the issues, and you come with these platform because and you come with these issues to this person in power, because, dude, I'm telling you, bro, like, our leaders in the past, you had Malcolm X, you had Martin Luther King, you had Huey Newton, you had Bobby Seals, you had Angela Davis, you had these strong leaders. And when they went to these, and if they ever went to a room of power, or when they spoke in front of cameras, they felt the responsibility of a black community to say the correct message, or to say how these people are feeling.
Sure.
You can't just, and that's what our problem is with Kanye. Like, you know, on an artistic level, like I think I said it before, Kanye West is a man who inspired me like no other.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else inspired me to follow my dreams like Kanye West, because I constantly retold his story in my mind of him dropping out of college to do what he wants to do.
Sure.
Like, and that's brave to me, and that's inspiring. But on this level of just saying like you like Donald Trump because you like his personality, like, he has policies behind his personality, and his policies are affecting people that I work with, or people that I'm trying to help. And you have a responsibility to call that out.
Sure.
Because like, I can't tell you like, again, I work in the government. I sometimes help immigrants, and I was working on this one case, and this guy, let's just say, he was from a country that was on a travel ban. And he was just trying to get his wife over, because she lives in one of those countries and her life is in danger.
Yeah.
And she can't come over because of the ban. So he can't see his wife, and his wife is there by herself in this country, this dangerous country, because of this man's policy. And you say, oh, I don't care about a policy. I don't like the policy. I just like his personality.
Yeah.
No. It's not right. And we can't normalize this behavior. Like, if you look at like all the evil people throughout history, you see some people that allowed that behavior, that normalized that behavior, and stood by why they continue to do these wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time where we have to stand up and we have to combat these wrong things. And if we know this not right, and if we want this country or in this world to go the way of good, then it's not going to get there by us standing aside and just being quiet. Martin Luther King said that. Like, Martin Luther King basically said, if you enable someone to continue doing wrong, then you're a part of the problem as well.
Absolutely.
And that's just all I'm saying. Like, I know, like, it seems like he's going through real issues, and it seems like he needs a person to like actually help and like try to just communicate with him and see what's going on. But this Kanye West I'm seeing right now, bro, I don't like it. And just like, on a spiritual level, man, it's wrong. And and if you read throughout all your black history books or your black history, you see all these things. You always saw some black leaders, and they always spoke out against people like Kanye West. Malcolm X spoke out against people like Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, man, like I have to view this as the wrong thing, and I have to speak out about it.
Sure. I would just question, I would actually put holes in Kanye as a black leader in general.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, because I think that what happened was is that Kanye has said he's never read. He's never been one of those. He literally dropped out of college.
Yeah, college dropout.
You know what I mean? Like, he's always been a product of feeling. He's ran right with his emotions. He's gone by, you know, just like the energy. Like, he's an energy type dude. Like, he's just like, okay, well, this feels wrong or whatever, whatever. And I think what happened was, and I think what happens in a lot of times when you have, the terrible, terrible leaders in history and stuff like that, and you have people that support them off of loose, like,
emotions.
You know
or
what I mean? Like,
logic.
Off of nothing.
Yeah.
What happens is that, and I think this is underrated, is that they get swooped up in what they're told, and, like, you know, they get swayed. So you, and it's quite obvious. I mean, Kanye has always been the person that whatever you tell him to do, he's going to do the opposite.
Yeah.
So it was just, so for so many years, he's going off of emotion, and it just happened to align with most of our views that something happened where people were pushing him towards the divisiveness, and they were pushing him towards a side.
Yeah.
And he reacted. He did what Kanye did, and he doubled down on it. Just fucking put all bets in, put it all on red, and it's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. And then also, he ended up being just like another one of these, you know, like little kids on the internet that gets swooped up by the fake news, by the fake memes, with the fake stats, the fake all of this kind of stuff. And what happens is, what's the catalyst is, he's not just a kid on the internet. He's Kanye West.
Yeah, he's a platform. Yeah, exactly.
And he's got a major platform. Like, whatever he says, he speaks. Because his history is, you know, he's on Twitter for a couple months and then he deletes it. He's on IG for a couple months and then he deletes it. And he's never on social media. So when he does, people pay attention no matter what.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no matter what.
Yeah.
So this time, unfortunately, he goes on there and he's getting diagnosed bipolar. He's not taking meds. He's taking meds. He's not taking meds. He's putting out crazy stuff. You got everyone in his life saying, vote this way, think this way, do this way. And we thought that it would just be like, oh, well, he said these things in the past and it's probably going to be easy. Like, it's going to be a simple thing. But he reacted and he was just like, no, fuck that. I'm going to go the other way just because. Yeah. And then I'm gonna justify it. I like his personality. And I think that what he's doing is hip hop because he's against the grain and da da da. And I think that da 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 da. And it is wrong. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, you know what I mean? Because, like you said, if he's a random dude on the street that only can touch like a couple hundred people with his Facebook or whatever, then that's a different story.
Yeah.
But if you are a major, like, one of the greatest artists of all time, and you know what I mean, like, when you speak, you listen, people listen, it's very different.
Oh, yeah.
So I just think that because everything is just so situational, I know that's going to change. Yeah. I know for a fact that will, because there's no way, like, he's a human being. I know that this backlash is eventually going to get to people. You know what I mean? Like, and that's kind of where he's leaning towards now. He's just like, okay, maybe I'm starting to get fucked up on this. Like, people are starting to use him. People were using him before, and it gets sad. You have the mental illness, you know, aspect of it. That's also a big thing. Like you said, you can't spread those kinds of messages.
No.
When,
no way.
You know what I mean?
You're
like, you have a lot of people.
Healthy.
When mental health is, you know, a huge subject in the country and stuff like that, and it has to be kind of like something that we.
Oh, especially within our Black community.
Oh, yeah,
it's
for
something
sure.
We don't
and
talk
the,
about.
The,
don't
talk the, about the stigma all. Of it. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things that you just can't excuse. But I think that, you know, like how we said on the last podcast that you were here, the optimist in me. It's always going to look towards, none of this shit is forever. You know what I mean? Like, I believe that he'll probably is going to get his shit together. I know that Kim has come out and been very vocal about supporting him, but being very, very like disapproving of his views or whatever, whatever. But I think that those kinds of things are going to start to creep in. I think it, once it dies down, I don't know. And I think that everything else is going to die down as well. Like I told you, like I feel like the way that you look at it this way, the way that the people reacted to this shows me that we're going in the right direction.
Oh yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like you got to think like you think of like all the points that you made on how much his voice matters and the platform that he has and all this kind of stuff. And then you think of, okay, what did it affect? You see what I'm saying? Like when we really look at the receipts, was there an uproar of change there? You know what I mean? And things like that. Like are people even still talking about Candace Owens as much as they were when he first dropped the name? And it's been some months, but is it still that same type of energy? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the backlash was so great. That shows me that maybe it's not just going to take just one artist saying his views that is going to be like, okay, this is the detriment of all, like, of our race or not our race, but of our like our standing. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to take a lot more than that. You know what I mean? Like, our election, which we'll get into later. That shows you see what I'm saying? Like, it's little things like that where I feel like people are really standing their ground. And to your point, like, I feel like our voice is being used a lot more effectively than it was before, so that things like that won't change it. It's not going to be just like, okay, well, now we're out of here. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Kanye has spoken, so all blacks have spoken. Now we rock in one way. You know what I mean? We're like, I feel like that. I feel like it was good that... I feel like it was good that the backlash hit him hard. Like, I feel like it was good because like everyone was vocal about it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, I'm being the optimist on this one, and I feel like that showed me that the change is coming. You feel me?
And I hope so. But if I'll tell you, I'm sorry, Jermaine. I'm not taking too much. I'm gonna make this as quick as I can. I can't. I'm sorry. So what I want to say is that I feel you. Like, and I'm more optimistic about things than I was last time.
That's good.
I feel more positive. I feel a different vibe. But this is what I'll tell you. It's not the fact that he's swaying a lot of black people, hopefully, to align with this president.
Or just people.
But I think he is swaying people, because this is what I'll tell you. So, I run into some white people or older white women who just say, well, yeah, Kanye West is on to something. Like, yeah. Kanye West is on to something. Maybe this guy said that the only reason black people vote Democrat is because of welfare. And that's an old racist trope that was thrown out in the 70s.
Sure.
And obviously it was because the Civil Rights Bill and all that stuff. We know that. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just the fact that Facebook, they're being held accountable right now because of all, like, they're allowing this stuff to fester on their website.
Sure.
And I'm sorry, Jermaine, this is my last point. It's just the fact that we have to do more to address what's going on in our social media, because we take this stuff in so much. And when you take in something so much, eventually it becomes part of your thinking. It becomes part of your mindset. Maybe social media isn't as good as we think it is. And it's just the fact that if it spreads to Kanye West and it spreads to Sally in Iowa and it spreads to Jamal in Brooklyn, like, it's spreading fast in these false messages and these false information. So we just have to make sure we do a better job of combating these things. But we also have to hold our so-called leaders. And I don't think Kanye West is a black leader either. I agree with you on that point.
Yeah, because, I don't know. I've never really, for me, it's never been like, I don't know. Like, he's in a different position. Yeah. I've never thought of him as a black leader.
No.
You know what I mean?
You're in this, I think you're in more of the sense of this. Like, I see him as a black voice, because I'll always remember that, you know, during Katrina. He's sitting, he's standing right there next to Mike Myers.
Mike Myers, yeah.
And he's like, Bush doesn't care about black people. that's him being a voice for us. You know, he's being that immediate person that needs to say what we're all thinking, because that's what we were all thinking watching Katrina happen. So I always see him as that. And to me, that affects me a lot because I love him lyrically, especially, you know, College Dropout, Graduation, 808s and Heartbreak. What else?
My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is
Late Registration.
You know, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is his pinnacle to me. That's his fucking peak. That was when everything lyrically and how I listened to him and what he has to say, that stuff meant the world to me because he spoke to me on that level. And I'm not like, you know, like disregarding you as a fan because you're not, you know, like, or anything by saying this, but like, I feel like musically, you know, instrumentally, like you love Kanye and you fuck with him heavily on that, in that sense. But I think what Jamarion was saying for like me and him, it's those things that he said, those little quirks of putting things about Black Panther and Ronald Reagan,
sure,
Jesus Walks, you know, those things for us was like, oh shit, like you're speaking to us on this level, because my mom, my dad were those types to, here's a book on Huey P. Newton, here's a book on Mandela. I got all that shit at a young age. Yeah. I was preached that shit at a young age. He was preached that shit at a young age.
True.
So at the end of the day, for him to say all that, that hurts.
Sure.
That hurts me to the bone. And I can't believe he could do that. But in a sense, because he said it and he thought he was going to flip all of us, it was like, no. You told us before, this is how we should be as a people.
Sure.
And he did bring us closer together through music. And that's what music is supposed to do.
Sure.
It's supposed to bring everybody closer together through music. We have white friends. We have Hispanic friends. We have Asian friends that love Kanye, mm-hmm, just as much as we do. And we can all sit there at a concert and vibe together, and there's no problems at a Kanye concert.
Absolutely.
You know? I don't care about the usage of nigga and all that stuff. And if it comes out of your mouth when you listen to a song, I don't really care, you know, because it's not pointed towards me and it's not derogatory in that sense.
Sure.
So, like, I can get through it in a concert and I don't mind, because
yeah, yeah,
we're there because we're all together for this one person, this voice.
Yeah.
And that's what Kanye means to me. Now I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate. So I have something to say about mental illness. You could take all the medicine you want in the world, but at the end of the day, there are still a lot of people that kill themselves because they're just unhappy. They're,
yeah,
depressed. And no mixture of the medicine, you know, the different types can help them get over that hump. And I think maybe he hasn't found that right cocktail. And
sure,
it is a total process, and it's always going to be a grind for him because it just is. You know, he's in this state. But my biggest problem, and I know Jesse's gonna hate this that I'm gonna say, is Kim Kardashian. She's not being a wife.
Mm.
A wife doesn't do this, doesn't allow her husband to make an ass of himself and to make an ass of herself, because it's her brand too, not just his.
Sure.
And to me, that comes back, and I'm not being racist, he doesn't have any black women in his life.
Mm-hmm.
He has exiled himself from his family, and he said that himself. He isn't a part of that family. He doesn't have that rock, because no one understands the pain of a black man more than a black woman. And losing your mother was his... He just dropped.
Sure.
And we saw it. We saw his rise. We saw him drop as a person and how he would respond to things. And we saw him, you know, continue to rise creatively, artistically, through music. But something as a person hasn't caught up with that artist.
Sure.
He has completely separated himself. And, you know, to me, I stopped after Yeezus, mm-hmm, you know, because it's just my viewpoint. I can't rep with someone that thinks of themselves as a god or as Jesus. It's insulting in a sense. I mean, that's just my viewpoint.
Yeah.
So I always see My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy as like my
the God, last one.
Like my God, like this is the last testament. You know, this is Schindler's List. This is, you know, fucking Jurassic Park. You know, these are these huge. It's a huge artistic achievement. He brought all these people together. He made me sit through a 9-minute fucking song, and I was still in my car just bobbing my head.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I literally went, bought the record, put it in, and sat in my car in the fucking Best Buy parking lot. I didn't move.
Mm-hmm.
I sat there for an hour and a half listening to this album, and that was like, oh shit, this is Kanye. This is everything that he's accumulated, everything that he's gone through in this, and he's my voice because I don't have his platform. You know, I could have his platform, and if I did, I wouldn't be spouting the things that he's spouting.
Sure.
I would be more thoughtful behind it, but
this is what I will say is that because obviously I will never be someone that's like at a Kanye type level at whatever I do or whatever I am, right? Or or whatever his field is or whatever like this. But one thing that I try my best to do with a lot of people is to humanize things as much as possible. So it was good that you had broke down like the loss of his mother and stuff like that, and you know, like where the clear drop off as a person that he was.
Yeah.
And then I think about things like everything that has happened and that he's done that was out of line after that point. He's always been, people have always said like, he's just an arrogant nigga. Like he thinks he's a shit. He's always been like that before he even could be anything. Like before, like he's making beats in his apartment and he thinks he's the greatest nigga of all time. So like that's just always been him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think that the antics and the wild shit, the crazy shit, the famous video, that type shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like just wildness. I think about the wildest things that I've ever done. I think about the craziest shit that I've ever said, done, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, I think about times that I've slipped up and, like, called a girl the bitch. You know what I mean? Like, in an argument. Mm-hmm. Or times that I've turned up at work where, like, I'm yelling at niggas and I'm just going fucking ape shit. And times that I've lied, called out of work. Times that I've lied to my moms, told her I was somewhere else, did something else. Stole cars.
Yeah.
Took the car, took the family car, and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Shit like that. Or been around people that I shouldn't have been around with, done some things I shouldn't have done, stuff like that. You know what I mean? And I think of the good that I've done. And I think of the good things that I've been able to say, and I think of the good effect that I've had on other people's lives. I think of the example that I've tried to be for my brother, my sister, or even for my parents. You know, sometimes, you know, like,
your parents,
you know, sometimes, you know, your parents, they look at, you know, like, oh, you're doing something a little, and you know, they get a little inspired. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think of like, how is all of these things weighted at the end of the day?
It's like a point system.
What's the scale? You know what I mean? Like, what's the scale? And then who's the judge? You know what I mean? For me, obviously, God is going to be the final, you know, judge. He's going to be the final one that has the say of where my soul lies. And, you know, and that, you know, that's what kind of keeps me, you know, kind of thinking of, like, the moves that I need to make so that I make sure that I'm taken care of after this life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I think of those kinds of things when I see others in, you know, different positions than myself. And I think I'm not going to put my, me personally, I'm not going to put myself in a position to be that judge.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately I'm going to hate it when it comes down on me.
Yeah.
I know that, and you know what? Actually, I'm going to use this example because this is, it was kind of embarrassing. It was honestly kind of embarrassing. There was a time where I posted something on Facebook and someone called me out on it. And she was like, hey, you know, like, and she actually came correct when I looked at it. She was like, hey, you're being, that's a little bit of a sexist comment. Like, that's actually kind of fucked up. Like, you shouldn't generalize women the way that you just did. And I was like, fucking, I think I was like 19. It was like a year out of high school. And I went in on this motherfucker. Like, I was like, man, shut up, da da da, bitch, shut your ass up. And, you know, for years, or for, not even for years, but for however long, I thought I was justified in what I was saying. And I thought it was okay. You know, and I'm sure I probably bragged to my friends, like, look at this motherfucker trying to come at me, whatever. You know what I mean? And once the time hop came out and memories came out, and I got that memory from like 10 years ago. Oh, well, not 10 years ago, but a long time ago. And I was like, wow.
You're terrified.
I was really embarrassed. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, I wonder if she has this. And I need to talk to her. Like, I need to let her know something. Cause I was like, I don't even know why I was saying that, or like whatever. I don't even remember why. I was just like, whatever it was that I said was wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I did reach out, and she remembered because it was that, you know what I mean? Like, she didn't get the memory, but she remembered. And I was like, you know what? Honestly, I was just being an idiot. Like, I didn't know any better.
We were being young.
And I thought that whatever mindset I was in, I thought I was justified. I thought I was okay. And, you know, that example leads me to the bigger picture, is that when does that stop? Does that stop because that example was I was 18 and now I'm 26? Or does that literally happen your entire life? Like literally until the day that you die, you always will look back and be like, that was not good. Yeah. That was no good. That was no good. Yeah, so. But then, what about that same lesson in others? My parents' mistakes that I see, my friends' mistakes that I see, and stuff like that. Do I disregard everything from the previous, you know, like, accounts because of what they are now? Like, what if they 180, like you said, like 180 completely? I'm going to be the person that's always going to take the good out of everyone because that's just how I am. Like you said, I'm the optimist. I'm not going to indulge myself in whatever you are now. I'm not going to do it. Like, that may work for someone else, and it's unfortunate that someone's going to be affected by it, but I'm not going to do it. It's not going to get me. And that's the bigger life lesson that I've learned just across the board. And this is no different to me, because I'm not going to allow those things to get me. And, like, obviously, I mean, like, you know, there's more to stake than just me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I hope that with my words, I can maybe spark something in my reach that can be like, oh, you know what? I'm not gonna listen to these actors or see these football players or see the CEO of a company say something crazy and then allow that to change my mind on a view. No, that's their shit. I'm not doing nothing of that. Papa John's, I'm gonna order that pizza. But you see what I'm saying? Like, I'm not gonna replay the video or the article or whatever of like him saying nigga and this and nigga that.
We still
like I'm not gonna rock with that. You know what I mean? But that was a big kind of like turning point for me on the way that I view things and the way that I see people, was just being a fan of him. It comes with those kinds of difficulties, but in a weird way, I'm grateful for it because it helps me see things like that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I can look at my mom and maybe not necessarily respect the choice that she made on something. but love her to death just the same. Mm-hmm. Like, and no, and literally nothing's gonna change it. You know what I mean?
You love her.
Like, she, we may get into an argument about the election or whatever, blah, 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 blah. But I could give a fuck. Like, I wish someone would come try yell at my mama's face because who she voted
That's
for.
It
like,
for
you. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? But I'm gonna love them. Yeah. I'm a disagree to the day that I die, but I'm gonna love them just the same. You feel me?
Yeah, I know.
And I don't know, like that's my overall view of how I move with these famous people, with my friends, with my family, with just people I meet randomly on the street, with clients. I gotta deal with that. I'm not gonna say my job, but I deal with, you know, these discussions all the time too.
Right.
And that's just how I see it.
No, definitely. And you want to say something, Drew?
Go ahead.
No, you're right. It's it doesn't end per se. We're still gonna say and do dumb shit for the rest of our lives. But, you know, we're gonna constantly make mistakes. We're gonna try to not make the mistakes that our parents made, that our grandparents made because of the stories that they've told us and everything like that.
Sure.
But we're still gonna make our own mistakes, like, you know, calling a girl a bitch, but, you know, we don't mean to, and we know that we've been taught not to do that.
Exactly.
Being a little bit more misogynistic than we should be at all.
Right.
you know, we make these mistakes, and it's just us being ignorant. And in this sense, Kanye is being ignorant.
That's a great word. Ignorant. Just ignorant.
And to go back to what Jamarion said, he's 41.
Yeah.
And we're 26. And the kids that do listen to Kanye, which I feel like there probably isn't that many, so it's not affecting them as much. But the ones that are, like, focusing on him and see him as, like, how we saw Jay-Z, like, I feel like that's a good example. Because
Jay was older.
Jay was already older, and we were like, oh, shit, like, yeah. Jay is, he is rap. He is hip-hop. You know, that's how we deemed him. So it's not like we were like, oh, you know, Jay-Z said that. Yeah, I'm going to do that. We were just like, okay, we like his music, and that's it. We didn't go any further. They're just listening to his music. And I don't think they're focusing on him as the person. We're focusing on him as the person because we grew up with Kanye.
Sure.
You know, what were we in middle school? We saw.
I think we were in elementary, like late elementary.
It was 04 when Dropout dropped. So
you
so
remember like fourth, that? That got delayed. It got delayed in 04. It like the first song came out. I think it was fifth grade, man. Like fifth, fourth.
I want to say it's like fifth, maybe sixth grade. Yeah.
But see how impressionable we were at fifth grade.
Sure.
There's no fifth graders listening in Kanye right now.
No way.
That's my point. So as a 41-year-old who is clearly making mistakes and being ignorant, we're seeing that as 26-year-olds, and we're like, oh, well, we wouldn't do that. That's not what you should be saying and doing. Mm-hmm. So I love Kanye. I will always love Kanye, just like Mark does. I feel like I honestly, after our discussion today, I feel like I can separate artists from person.
Sure.
And I can now choose the path of he's no longer my voice. He is just who I go for music and who I need. Yes, music is a voice, is powerful and all these things, and yes, he will still be able to make me feel a certain way depending on his music and what he says going forward, which I don't think he's going to be saying shit about Trump and right wing, left wing. I don't care. I don't want him to pick sides. I don't want to know his sides. I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
That's at the end of the day, I don't care, and I don't want to know. I want to know you as an artist. I don't want to know your position on politics or anything like that, but if you have something to say that uplifts us, your people, stuff like that, then say it. I'm all for it. I'm 100% for it. If you have something to say to uplift Asians, then say it. Hispanics, say it. Say it.
Sure.
But I don't want to...
Anything else.
Politics, anything else, I don't want to hear it.
I feel that.
I just want to be just really quick. I see what you guys are saying. And typically, I move in a way of just... like you said, finding humanity in people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't judge. I don't really judge anyone. Like,
no, of course not.
Like, I seriously just. I go off vibes. Like, I go off what energy you bring me. If you bring me good energy, then I'm like, okay, I want this person around. If you bring me bad energy, I'll just avoid you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, last time I was on this podcast, I was in the middle of tough work, tough thing, and I had so much going on in my mind, and I'm able to just see things clear right now. And I feel just optimistic and positive about just life and about people. And Kanye West, for so long, he really just gave me just different energies. Our ideas aligned, and I saw that energy. And with Kanye West now, what I'll say is, you know, he has this huge platform. He's still a human being, and the humanity in him is still that. You know, he might be hurting and he might be calling out for help. And false prophets, that's what J. Cole also says, like, he's crying out for help. And it's just important that, you know, I tell your listeners that if you know someone going through mental illness, or if you know someone crying out for help, just try to be there for that person. Try to listen to them, try to see what's going on, try to see how you can help. And that's what we all should just do as a society. Yep. Just try to help one another. Like, stop trying to impede people's progress. Stop trying to, like, you know, just cause harm to people. Like, we should try to help people. Sure. And that's where we should be at as a people. And and, you know, right now I feel that Kanye West, he's like caught in a weird place. Yeah. His mind is, I want to be positive, and but his, you know, his actions and who he support, it's not really aligning with what his mind is telling him. So I see where he wants to go. He wants to go with, you know, we should just love everyone, and we should respect everyone, and that's why I want to, you know, support Trump. And that's what he's saying. I don't support Trump, but let's not look at that. But that's what Kanye West is saying. But and I hear his message. It's just the fact that even sometimes when you love someone, and if you want to you know, show your humanity towards their humanity, you still have to, you know, just kind of call them out. And if they're wrong, they're wrong. And if they're wrong, you have to tell them they're wrong.
Yep.
And if Kanye West does that and still is able to show love, then that'd be great. And if he wants to call himself Yandi now, after Gandhi, a great leader, you know, Gandhi, he started a peaceful movement that Martin Luther King looked after and tried to model his civil rights movement after. And Gandhi was
a lot of people didn't. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and Gandhi was just such a historical figure. And even what people have to realize about his peaceful movement and Martin Luther King's peaceful movement is, yeah, they had a peaceful movement. They came out of a place of love, but they also disagreed with the person who was causing them this harm. And if Kanye West, if he wants to model himself after these legendary, respected figures, and he wants to come after himself and his love and call himself Yandi, he still has to understand Gandhi was against the British government. He didn't go in there and hug the queen. He stood against that. And you can still come out of a place of love and say, brother, I love you, but you're wrong.
Yeah.
You can still do that.
It's not one and the same.
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
And I
see that's what he's trying to do.
Sure.
But maybe I wish he understood that you can still love someone and admit they're wrong. Just like you said about your mom. Like, you love your mom, but you can still tell your mom she's wrong. And that's just all I wanted to bring across. My point is that, you know, I just wish he knew that, you know, you can do both. You can love someone and disagree with them at the same time.
I agree. Yeah. No, that's a perfect way to end it. And also, because I only got a couple seconds left before this expires, but I do like what you said right there. You know, if you feel like, or if you notice that, you know, someone that's close to you, or even someone that isn't that close to you, you know, that they may be crying out for help, and, you know, something's a little bit out of character, or, you know, they're just a little bit down, or something's just a little off, you know, like the energy's off, you know what I mean? And a lot of times people can feel that. You know, definitely reach out. You know what I mean? Like, why not? You know, like, what's the worst that could happen? You know what I mean? Like, you share a discussion and you have a talk, and that could mean the world to somebody. You know what I mean? It could not. You know what I mean? Like, they may be annoyed or whatever, but you know, you got to try sometimes. Yeah. You know, you got to try to lend out a helping hand and stuff like that. And you never know how much or how far that could go for somebody. So I like that you said that because, you know, like that's really what I'm about, you know, for a lot of people. And, you know, I like to lend helping hands, and I like to talk, and I like to listen to niggas. And, you know, I just want to help, you know, people when I can. So it was good. It was good to get that final message out of there as well. You know, like it's good to take this message and then come out with it with something positive, something on top. So yeah, that's dope. So we've come to the end. Great talk. Love that we always end with positivity with these talks too. I think that's always something that's needed. Don't even matter if you've had 10 good days, a good year, good decade. Positivity is always needed. Good vibes, good energy is always needed. No matter what, you'll want to keep that shit going for as long as you can. Also, I'm just glad that, you know, like, even in a time where a lot of people disagree, and it's almost like it's cool to disagree, where you, like, want to go out there and go against the grain, and you want to be devil's advocate, or just to do it, like, people could come to common ground and, like, find, like, the similarities and, like, find the most important things that, you know, like, really matter and, like, focus in on that. You know what I mean? So I appreciate you, Jamarion, Jermaine, coming through.
Thanks for having me.
You guys
again,
always give great input, great insight. I always love it. Definitely going to be here again. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Let's do it. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. You know, I appreciate you for sharing me with your platform. And I would love to come back.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm always happy to be here. I love the topic, so I was excited
for the jump. Great topics.
So, you know, us picking our music out and us just having fun, and I wish you guys could see a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff. So
It's coming. I'm working on it. Hopefully someone puts a camera in my stocking. I'm just saying, family, friends, I'm just saying, throwing that out there. But
all pitch in. Yeah.
But no, for sure, like I'm glad you said that, cuz I know how many I got a lot of we got some praise for the one episode that we were able to put on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it's good to have that video with the voice, you know what I mean? And like you see our reactions and you see like the body movements and all that kind of shit. And you know, it's dope to, I love having the video, like
the video is
that I fucking loved it. So that's definitely coming. I promise, like, I'm gonna get this camera. I'm gonna make sure that we record each and every episode, put it on the YouTube, and have you guys rock with us like that. It's coming. It's coming for sure.
No, we don't, man.
But yeah, we come to the end again. Shout out to Aries, brother.
Respect, man. Respect.
Shout out to all of you. Shout out to the rest of GVGB, Triton James. Love y'all niggas. Everybody else that support us. We appreciate you rocking with us still. Damn, you know what? It's crazy. This is actually episode 25.
Hey. Yeah.
That's crazy. So dope, 25 man. Episodes.
Congratulations, bro.
Yo, that's wild, man. I didn't even think about that until now. I was like, what number is this? Oh, shit.
Dude, congratulations.
25.
Man.
Thank you. You deserve it, bro. I appreciate you guys being here for that. That's it's a landmark. It's a Amen. Landmark. So, yeah, you I guys here on the landmark
quarter
episode.
Century. There we go.
But, yeah, man, we're going to keep it going. 25 more. 25 more. Let's keep it going.
100 more.
100 more. Yep. 150. Oh, shit.
He's a phantom.
This is so cold. I just love it.
Yo, Danny Phantom, he was just 14 when his parents built a very strange machine designed to view a world unseen. He's gotta catch him all cause he's been Phantom. When he didn't quite work, he just stayed discreet. And Danny took a look inside of it. It was a great big flash, everything just changed.
His molecules got all rearranged.
When he first woke up, he realized he had snow white hair and glowing green eyes. He could walk through walls, disappear, and fly. He was much more unique than the other guys. And it was then that he knew what he had to do. He had to stop all the ghosts that was coming through. He shared his life. For me and you.
Hey.
That was fucking hard.